Bristol. Get ready for the biggest one night event ever to hit the town.
Radio Cabale, your anarchist radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Radio Cabale. Yeah. Hello, so my name is Santeria.
And I'm Mitchell.
Great, and today we are going to be your hosts for this lovely show. We are going to be speaking about many things. The first thing that we're going to be speaking about, we're going to get Mr. Silence is here, and he's from the Bristol Arrestee Support Group. He's going to tell us a bit about what the sort of some of the really great work they've been doing. We're also going to be speaking to somebody from Bristol with Love, which is a new DIY radio show, obviously from Bristol with lots of love, so that'd be fantastic.
Yep.
And we're also going to speak with somebody who is sort of quite knowledgeable about the situation with Los Indignados, so the people who are camping in the city, the center. And finally, we're also going to have an interview with Ramona Africa. This was a bit pre-recorded a little while ago, but it was recently the anniversary of the bombing of the Move House. And so we got the lucky chance to speak with Ramona, who's quite inspirational and one tough cookie. She's the only survivor of the she's the only adult survivor of the firebombing. There was child that survived as well, so it's quite a crazy thing that happened, but quite amazing to hear her speak. So now we're going to go to a quick song before the local and global updates, and we're going to listen to Lady Day and John Coltrane by Gil Scott-Heron.
Just what to do. Living all of your days in darkness, let the sun shine through. Ever feel that somehow, somewhere you lost your way? And if you don't get a help quick, you won't make it through the day. Or could you call on Lady Day?
Away. They watch the troubles away.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Cabele. And so now we're going to go to the local and global updates. Great. And so to begin with, unfortunately, Geronimo G. Jaga Pratt, he's joins the ancestors, as they say. He passed away recently, June 2nd, 2011. He was formerly known as Elmer Geronimo Pratt. He was a high-ranking member of the Black Panther Party. The Federal Bureau of Investigation targeted him with COINTELPRO, and he spent 27 years in prison, 8 of which were in solitary confinement. Pratt was finally freed in 1997, and his conviction was vacated, which is like the technical way of saying sort of said it was kind of invalid, actually. So he spent all that time in prison for
8 years is nothing to be by yourself.
No. So he just died recently of a heart attack in Tanzania, which was his adopted country. And also, he was the godfather to rapper Tupac Shakur.
Get out, really?
Yeah.
There you go. There's been a lot of news in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, as people have probably heard, there's been a bit of a revival of the 1990 Drive protest, which was, for those who were aware of what was going on in that time, was where 4 women got together and were driving around the city. As everyone might or may not be aware, it's illegal for women to drive. So there's been a revival of that campaign, basically led by this woman, Manal Al-Sharif from Jeddah, and she was recently arrested on the 21st of May. She was driving in Al-Khobar, and she posted a video of herself driving around on YouTube, which, you know, as the sort of way it goes these days, is generating heaps and heaps of response around the world. Just getting like thousands and thousands of views, which is really fantastic and is inspiring other women to drive as well. So she has a video and she sort of talks about the law while she's driving. And she sort of says that many women in the society are able to drive cars, and she has found that men in her family don't mind her driving. And 2 leading Islamic scholars have come forward and said that there's no reason to continue the ban on women driving in the country. Many conservatives, though, as you might gather, continue to resist the reform, arguing that it would lead to mingling of the sexes, which is banned under Saudi Arabia's strict interpretation of Islamic law. So there is a protest coming up on the 17th of June, which is lots of people are getting involved in around the world. Women in Saudi Arabia particularly are planning a protest where they're all going to start driving. So people with foreign passports who are legally able to drive, women who are legally able to drive, are going to have a bit of a drive campaign to highlight this issue. So it's called Women to Drive Campaign on the 17th of June. And potentially, people are talking about how it could lead to a sea change of women's rights in the Saudi Kingdom. So we'll see how that goes. She's been arrested. The woman who started it has been arrested, and this sort of said she's not allowed to continue the campaign, but obviously it's sort of taken on such momentum that it's, you know, people have sort of high hopes for the 17th of June, so we'll see what happens there.
Goodness gracious, like a back away from the car kind of situation
there. Yeah, it's sort of a funny situation, using cars as an activist tool, but you
sounds
know,
like
totally
a job
valid.
For Jeremy Clarkson.
Indeed, definitely a job for Jeremy Clarkson, that one. And Jerome White Bay, who's an anarchist prisoner and one of the founders of the Missouri Prison Labor Union, since he's been involved with the Missouri Prison Labor Union, he's been harassed by the prison authorities. He's been put on the hold for 2 years following the founding of the union, and he's been in and out of segregation ever since. He's now appealing for a letter campaign because he has diabetes, which has caused a kidney infection, has lasted for several months now. Despite requests being made by him to see doctors, the prison officials are denying him medical treatment for his kidney infection. He's had no treatment, no tests, no medication. And he's worried about his health and the effect of the long-lasting infection will have on him. So please write a letter in support, go harass the prison authorities as well, and check out Denver ABC website for more information.
In other news,
pop quiz, which European country has the most liberal drug laws?
Ooh, tough one.
It's not the Netherlands.
Oh, Portugal, maybe.
Yes, correct.
Woo-hoo!
Ah, smart cookie. Many people think it's Holland, but they've never actually legalized cannabis. They just sort of turn a blind eye for tourism reasons, apparently, is the way it's looked at. So it is Portugal, and the Portuguese drug legalization stance has sort of come up again. It was the first European country to officially abolish all criminal penalties for personal possession of drugs, including marijuana, cocaine, heroin and meth. So the debate has resurfaced as a result of a UN-led drug policy paper, which has been recently put forward and focuses specifically on Europe. The global war on drugs has failed, which we're probably all very aware of. I think Bill Hicks had a good one saying that the government is waging a war on drugs and they're being beaten by stoners. So that basically sums it up, doesn't it? The Global Commission argues that anti-drug policy has failed by fueling organized crime, costing taxpayers millions of dollars and causing thousands of deaths. It calls for drug policies based on methods empirically proven to reduce crime and promote economic and social development. The Commission is especially critical of the US, saying that it must abandon anti-crime approaches to drug policy and adopt strategies rooted in healthcare and human rights. So there's a lot of talk around Europe's drug policies at the moment, and this paper's definitely pushing some buttons in various governments. It's good to see Portugal on the map for something as awesome as that. So, yeah.
Great, indeed. So on July 1st, there's going to be a hunger strike by the Pelican Bay State Prison in the United States. So between 50 to 100 prisoners at the prison and the secure housing unit, the SHU, Corridor B, are going to go on an indefinite hunger strike. The Corridor D is also known as the short corridor, and it has the highest level of restricted incarceration in the state of California and among the most severe conditions in the United States. The rules of their confinement are extremely harsh in order to force them to debrief or offer up information on criminal and gang activity and other prisoners. Most inmates in the SHU are not members or associates of gangs, and in the past, the Pelican Bay State Prison staff claims even those who have put their lives and their lives of the family into prisons at risk if they don't debrief. And so there are five core demands, which I'll go through quite quickly, are to eliminate group punishment, so just instead hold people practically accountable for their individual actions, abolish the debriefing policy, which is essentially snitching or grassing up other people, comply with recommendations with regard to the U.S. Commission on the Safety of Abuse in Prison regarding the end of long-term solitary confinement, and provide adequate food, because that's kind of important, and expand and provide the structure for programs for people to engage in self-help and self-treatment activities, education, things. So not massive demands, really, some demands for dignity. And so now we're going to go to the local updates.
Yes, we've got a couple of local stories. The Big Issue has their London to Paris bike ride coming up soon, if people are interested in that. It's a fundraiser for the Big Issue, cycling London to Paris. Apparently it's for all abilities, so go figure. It's 320 miles over 3 days, and it's £50 to get involved as a fundraiser for the Big Issue. You see the last leg of the Tour de France as well, coming into Paris, which is quite nice, I think.
Oh, wicked. May 27th on Bristol Indie Media, it came up that anarchists in Bristol have attacked the surveillance industry. Anarchists in Bristol attack some banks. They attack something
they
somewhere.
This time, come on.
I know. Goodness gracious. So essentially, here we go. Sorry about this. On June 1st, two banks on Gloucester Road in Bristol had the majority of their window smashed and ATM smashed out with hammers. This was despite the still increasing number of high-quality security cameras along that stretch of road and in the surrounding area, and despite the fact that those involved knew it was a well-used police route. Bleached clean hammers were used to avoid fingerprints, and masks and all disposable clothing, basically all the clothes, were gotten rid of as well. This was done in the spirit of Bristol's rebels. The Stokescroft riot was not the result of, but related strongly to, a campaign that has exhausted every possibility to stop the unwanted supermarket. And the people took to the street as the only logical step that was left, and in doing so empowered themselves beyond their own expectations. And so there's more of the communique on Bristol Indie Media website, so check it out if you want to have a look.
BBC has recently come under fire for banning Palestinian references on one of their radio shows, which is a little bit outrageous. I've just got an article here, which is fairly in detail. I would recommend looking it up. The BBC appears to find not just the phrase Free Palestine, but even the geographical entity of the Gaza Strip itself unutterable on a cultural show. A controversy has broken out over the BBC's anti-Palestinian bias after its digital radio channel BBC One Extra, which largely plays hip-hop, grime and other urban music genres, censored an on-air reference to Palestine. First, it censored rapper Mick Righteous's on-air freestyling on One Extra when he... Sorry, One Extra, am I saying that right?
Yes, okay, you are. I think so.
when he uttered the phrase, Free Palestine, BBC drowned out the last two unspeakable words. On May 25th, the BBC released a statement trying to justify the censorship after a flood of complaints. Its one-sentence response said it had a responsibility to be impartial when dealing with controversial subjects, and an edit was made to the artist's freestyle to ensure that was maintained. Sure.
That's a redefinition of impartial.
I think so. On the radio segment, Fire in the Booth, the rapper Mick Righteous made a guest appearance. He has a rhyme that goes, come on, Joe, who you know as hard as this, bringing more fire than the... And then there was a bit of silence at the end there. The term he used at the end of the line, Gaza Strip, has been censored out. Not a political statement, not a humanitarian statement, but the name of a geographical piece of land. A simple description of a place that does actually exist. In BBC's defence... a spokesperson has said that... they seem intent on completely eradicating any recognition of Palestine's right to exist from their radio broadcasts, but their actions have had the opposite effect. Many have pointed out the hypocrisy at work. On the very same show, DJ Charlie Sloth played a Biggs track entitled I Just Want the Paper. In the song, he raps, chillin' on a beach, Tel Aviv. There you have it. there's that bias, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Never happens. So we're just going to wrap up the local updates. Just a couple of things. There's many things we haven't mentioned that are going on locally, such as Joe Foster appeared in court on Wednesday the 1st. He's being held for a while now related to the incidents that happened in Stokes Croft. So check out Bristol Indie Media for some information about him. And also over the past couple of weeks, there's been repression of people that have had to have largely incredibly peaceful protests that I hear even involved knitting.
Wow.
So outside the Tesco's in Stokes Croft.
I heard about that, yeah.
They're very scary, those people, those knitters.
They got needles.
Yeah.
That's a you're not allowed them on a plane.
This is true.
It's technically classed as a weapon, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah. But now we're going to go to, in the spirit of Palestine, we're going to go to Free Palestine by Loki.
This is for Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for the answer. When the shock of taking tears and replacing with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for the answer. When the shock of taking tears and replacing with laughter. Long live Palestine. While we listen to tunes made by ignorant fools, Israel blocked the UN from delivering food. They bring in the troops and you won't even glimpse at the news. They make money off the products that we're quick to consume. And it's not simply a question of differing views. Forget emotions, this is facts, what I spit is the truth. Makes no difference if you're a Christian or if you're a Jew. They're just people living in different conditions to you. They still die when you bomb their schools, mosques and hospitals. It's not because of rockets, please God, can you stop this all? I'm not related to the strangers on the TV, but I relate, cause those strangers could have been me. Words could never ever explain the raw tragedy. It's not a war, they're just murdering more rapidly, and we're automatically supporting pure savagery. Imagine how you feel if this was your family. Now free, free Palestine, 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 free, free Palestine. Palestine remains in my heart forever. We stand for peace, times of war, we shan't surrender. Remember, it didn't start in this dark December. Every coin is a bullet if you're Marks and Spencer. And when you're sipping Coca-Cola, that's another pistol in the holster of them soulless soldiers. You say you know about the Zionist lobby, but you put money in their pocket when you're buying their coffee. Talking about revolution sitting in Starbucks. The fact is, that's the type of thinking I can't trust, let alone even start to respect. Before you talk, learn the meaning of that scarf on your neck. Forget Nestle, get Obama from his Israel. 30 billion over the next decade. They're trigger happy and they're crazy. Think about that when you're putting Huggies nappies on your baby. Now free, free,
Palestine, free, free 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 Palestine.
It's not just a war over stolen land. Why do you think little boys are throwing stones at tanks? And we'll never really know how many people are dead. They drop bombs on innocent girls while they sleep in their bed. Don't get offended by facts, just try and listen. Nothing is more anti-Semitic than Zionism. So please don't bring bad vibes when you speak to me. There's plenty of rabbis that agree with me. It's your choice what you do with this message. Don't get it confused, I view this from a human perspective. How many more resolutions have to be violated?
How many more
children have to be annihilated? Israel is a terror state, they're terrorists that terrorize. I testify, my television televised, I'm telling lies. This is not a war, it is systematic genocide, but whatever they try, Palestine will never die.
Free my people.
Free,
free Palestine,
free, free Palestine,
free, free Palestine,
free, free Palestine,
free, free Palestine,
free, free Palestine,
free, free Palestine,
free, free Palestine,
Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza.
Hello and welcome back again to Radio Kabele on a lovely Sunday afternoon here, reporting from you from our headquarters at Kabele. And so now we're going to go and we're going to be speaking with Mr. Silence.
Hello.
Hey, and so basically Mr. Silence is from the Bristol Arrestee Support Group, based here in Bristol, obviously by the name. And there's been... So there's been a long campaign against the Tesco's in Stokes Croft. After it opened, there were a couple of nights of riots, or so-called disturbances, as they like to call them in the papers. And folks basically went out into the streets and sort of kicked up a fuss about the Tesco's. And but the people who went out in the streets are getting a lot of bad press, and they're being called outside thugs and hooligans and no good nicks and things like that. And it's also sort of been argued a lot in the papers that the police were just doing their job, quote-unquote. But, so given that you've been working with the people a little bit who sort of have been arrested and things, can you tell us a bit, like, who have you been in contact and what are those people like, and sort of who have the police targeted as well after that?
So from what we can see, it's mainly young people that have fallen foul of the law in this case. There's been over 50 arrests, predominantly young people, as I say. Yeah, we're in touch with as many as we can be, but it's quite a big job to build up a picture. And, you know, because there's a lot of young people, like under 18-year-olds, that have been on the receiving end, it's quite hard to get that information because of access to youth courts, mm-hmm. and the names aren't published in the papers. Evening Post has been a very useful source of information for us for getting in touch with defendants and arrestees who are 18 and over, and we thank them for their role in that.
It's quite rare that you can actually thank them for anything, so it's good to hear. And so approximately how many people have been targeted by the police in the press and also on the police, the Avon and Somerset Police website?
So the police released pictures of 50 people initially, and I think there's been some more since. It speaks volumes to us that as of today there's 32 pictures still on Avon and Somerset Police website, which to me speaks of it's not very effective, and they haven't got a very good hit rate. So it's encouraging to see that despite the sort of media furore and demonisation of the rioters and the demonstrators, most people understand that it's really important not to snitch on people. But there have been over 50 arrests, which with the extent of the unrest that took place there over the space of, you know, 2 weeks, it's not actually that many.
Yeah, definitely. And the pictures on the website, especially the first round of pictures, they weren't of the highest quality. And I think people who were wearing baseball caps or maybe some kind of glasses or something like this, their pictures were even more distorted. So that was something that when you looked at them, they're really it's a long process for them to sort of trawl through all that information and things.
That's right. Someone quipped actually when they were initially released that they'd seen better pictures of the abominable snowman in many cases, and I think that's a fair, fair point to make.
I think it is, yeah, indeed, definitely. And so sort of what, you know, the name sort of says it all, like Bristol Arrestee Support. So what kind of support can you offer to people who are sort of facing charges as a result of the uprising in Stokescroft? And also the question, are you guys professionals?
Okay, far from it. We're not professionals. We're just people who have a degree of experience over the course of years for dealing with various dealings with police and courts. So we're not legally qualified, but we do think that that accumulated experience of a, albeit small, group does count for quite a lot. So we've been getting in touch with arrestees, accompanying them to court, accompanying them to bail, or answering bail. Our support takes two forms, but the two are pretty much inseparable. There's the practical support, accompanying to court and bail, as I've just said, offering limited legal advice based on our experience, putting people in touch with really good solicitors who are politically minded and very, very supportive and very experienced, through to writing letters to prisoners on remand or people who are convicted. So there's definitely the prospect of more long-term support as well. Politically, we offer our support unconditionally, and we see that as absolutely crucial. We refuse to be sort of divided into good protesters and bad protesters, and we won't make judgments like that. Anyone who was involved in the Stokescroft riots, and they were riots, let's be honest, we support them, whether it was, you know, their choice to fight back and defend themselves against a police attack, or to fight back against the increasing corporate control of every aspect of our lives, in this case represented by the big bad Tesco's.
Indeed, yeah, definitely. And so sort of if someone sees their picture on the police website, what should they do?
The first thing we'd say is to stay calm. It's well documented that these sort of pictures and this sort of naming and shaming is not conclusive. Certainly not in the courts. It doesn't provide good evidence. A lot of people have, you know, who have found themselves on the front page of the paper in this whole trial by media sort of thing that we see these days, have not ended up convicted. But there are definitely some precautionary measures that we'd recommend that people take. Things like getting rid of the clothes you're wearing on the night, changing your appearance, having a bit of a house tidy. It comes to us all. Getting a good lawyer. Contacting the arrestee support group, just learning about your rights, you know, treat it as a, you know, sometimes like an apparently shit situation can kind of help you learn stuff. So learning more about your rights and sort of where you stand with the law is, it's got to be a good thing, really, in times of increasing, escalating repression.
And you live in a cleaner house. So
exactly.
That's an upside.
Yeah.
Be careful who you talk to as well. You know, if you do need to talk with people about it, and it's completely understandable the pressures involved that you'd want to talk with people, make sure it's really close people that you have a high degree of trust in. If things are really looking not that good, maybe it's time for a change of scene, and you probably deserve a holiday anyway.
Don't we all, eh? So before we wrap up, I was just wondering if there's any anything you'd like to add, or sort of more importantly, I guess, how people should get in touch with the Bristol Arrestee Support Group.
Okay, so there's phone numbers are on Bristol Indie Media. Bristol Arrestee Support at riseup.net are ways to get in touch. We'd just like to kind of restate the fact that in the face of like the divide and rule tactics that are being employed by both the police and a totally complicit Evening Post local right-wing media, solidarity is still our best defence. We can't let ourselves get separated into good and bad protesters. That's doing their job for them. Like many ordinary working class people, we understand that people don't accept police invasion and attacks on our communities. We see so much evidence from around the world, whether it's in Iraq or Libya or the streets of London or Bristol. Police get away
everywhere.
Barcelona. The story is the same. Police violence and impunity, protection of corporate interests through brute force, rough justice, trampling all over wishes of local communities. There's a lot of people who won't take that line down, and we're proud to live in a place like Bristol where people have really shown their willingness to rebel and revolt.
Right on.
The contempt showed by Tesco's towards local opinion in this case is matched only by that shown by the cops as they invaded the community of Stokescroft.
With Welsh police as well.
Absolutely. The riots were totally predictable, and it's likely they won't be the last. So we'll continue to support all those on the wrong side of the law or on the right side of the law, depending on your perspective, who continue to resist power and profit of cops and corporations with everything we got.
Great. Thanks,
Keep doing it.
Cool.
That's wicked. And now we're going to go to Sous la Lune Noire by the collective Mary Reed. Mary Reed. Cheers.
Se répand sur les boulevards. Dynamite statue et pont élevé à leur gloire. Arrache sans trêve le nom des rues, de leurs bourreaux, de leurs colons, des assassins, de leurs armées, des inquisiteurs incantatoires. Sans lumière sous la lune noire, opérant telle une marée noire. S'approche en cercle et brûle les guets des citadelles des tours d'ivoire. Le vin du pain des affamés gonfle les rangs au chaos des rues comme firmament. Et la vengeance comme fermamente s'avance sanglante sous la lune noire. Réminiscence de triste mémoire. Le vaisseau fantôme armé des ombres s'avance des lames de l'Occident carbonisées à l'excitant. En silence sous la lune noire.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris de Cusco.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des esclaves.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris et les sanglots.
Hissé le pavillon noir. Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des bûchers.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris de Gorée.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Qu'il soit vengeance puis liberté.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Toujours le même décor, cette lune noire. À l'horizon, cette terre et ces murailles qui s'éloignent. Sur la mer, un bateau qui s'évade, des armées qui s'écartent, des canons qui se rechargent. Mais la victoire a choisi son camp depuis longtemps. Ira vers la lune noire, détruisant les armées des tyrans, ne leur offrant qu'un répit illusoire. À peine le temps pour ces soldats de se souvenir des exactions perpétrées sur leurs semblables. À force de sentir les semblables, fallait bien qu'ils périssent dans les flammes. Soudain leur monde s'embrase et pas dans le calme. Soudain les ruines s'entassent, toujours pas de calme. La lune noire a depuis longtemps affiné sa focale, rempli ses cales et mis le feu, poudre à temps, prochaine escale.
Un monde meilleur, faut pas que ça traîne, la suite attend.
En silence sous la lune noire.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des sans-voix.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des combattants.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des dissidents.
Hissé le pavillon noir. Hissé le pavillon noir.
Tu résonnes les cris des condamnés.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Tu résonnes les cris des damnés.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Qu'il soit vengeance puis liberté.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Un vaisseau glisse sur les flots noirs. Les uniformes de sa majesté sont illusoires. Les vagues se brisent sur la jetée. Projetés au large seront les corps des sbires de l'anti-liberté. La piraterie est le symbole d'un monde uni. Démocratie, antisexisme, antiracisme et pas de pays. Je suis l'héritière de marée ride. Pierre par pierre on démontra les monuments et les prisons érigés par le patriarcat. La rage des femmes ne prend pas de ride. Quand les porcs ont tous les droits sur les trottoirs, notre vengeance sera glaciale et exutoire. Les milliers de viols, d'humiliations, de genoux au sol et d'injonctions seront unis sous la lune noire. Et dans un siècle avec nos enfants seront unis sous le drapeau noir. Ça fait quatre siècles que les amants de l'utopie inondent les ponts des navires de leur sang mêlé. En silence sous la lune noire.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des pogroms.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des indiens.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris du peuple rom.
Hissé le pavillon noir. Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des violets.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Que résonnent les cris des pendus.
Hissé le pavillon noir.
Qu'il soit vengeance puis liberté.
Hissé le pavillon noir. Hissé le pavillon noir.
Okay, we're back with Radio Cavelli. We've got another little interview now, little advertisement really, with Durston Fletcher from Bristol with Love.
Bonjour. How you going?
Hello. What do you got to say about your new project?
Well, we've just started up a new radio show. It's me and Dick Gherkin, lovely man. And it's basically... Hey! Mazel tov! So it's basically... ins and outs of what's going on in Bristol and then what's going on in our area as well, really. It's
great. So it's very local sort of discussions.
You know, we start talking about local stuff but then end up going on to all sorts of other things as well. But it's a wonderful show and there's lovely music as well.
Excellent.
Local music. So our blog is frombristolwithlove.wordpress.com.
Cool.
And our shows will be on there. So if you want to...
How often are they on?
Monthly. We've only got one episode at the moment.
Okay,
so
cool.
I think we're going to do monthly, then see how we get on from there. Maybe more, you know, if the demand is there.
Yeah.
We'll get on it like a car bonnet. So.
Great.
Yeah, it's cool. Lovely. It's going to be great.
All right, we'll definitely check that one out. So right now we've got the Ramona Africa interview.
They can if they go to the blog, there's a link on the blog that you can follow and listen to your heart's content. You can even download
one episode to your heart's content.
Exactly. You can download, listen to it over and over again to these warm, beautiful West Country accents.
Oh, lovely.
And, you know, and it will just open your imagination to some beautiful things.
Some lovely West Country accents. That's good news. And also, so now we're going to go to an interview with Ramona Africa from the Movement. And this interview was done shortly before the anniversary of the firebombing of the Move House, which resulted in over 10 people dying. But Ramona will tell us all about that. So we're going to go to that now. Ramona Africa from the Movement. Thanks for speaking to us today. And we're coming up to the anniversary of the May 13th, 1985 bombing of the Move House. Can you tell us a bit more what happened?
Absolutely. The first thing I would like to say is that the government, through the news media, tried to convince people that what happened in May of 85, which, by the way, began on Sunday, May 12th, Mother's Day, and went into Monday, May 13th, but it began on Mother's Day. I'm sure you're familiar with that holiday called Mother's Day here in the States. Anyway, the government through the media tried to convince people that the reason that they came out there and had to take such vicious action was because some neighbors had complaints about us. Now, the Osage Avenue area was predominantly black, working to middle class neighborhood, and whether or not neighbors had complaints about Move is not even the issue, because even if they did, that would never come close to justifying the action taken by the government. But the fact is, this government have never cared about anybody complaining about their neighbors, particularly black people complaining about their neighbors. But they want people to believe that they were just so concerned about some complaints from black people on the street that they just had to take action to give these people some relief. That is completely outrageous and not believable at all. All right, so that being said, the next thing that needs to be made very clear is that this was not an attempt to arrest Move people. It was a clear, deliberate conspiracy plot to kill every living Move person in that house, even our animals, our dogs and cats. They were determined to annihilate Move. And this is made clear by the fact that they came out there to our home with the weaponry of war. I mean, the weapons they had out there, 50 caliber machine guns, M60 automatic rifles, sniper rifles with silencers on them. Now, why did they need silencers? They had a 20 millimeter armor-piercing anti-tank gun and plastic military explosives called C4. Now, what does all of that have to do with some complaints from neighbors? It is very clear that their aim was to exterminate Move. After they got all of their weaponry set up, and it took all day, because in fact that Sunday morning, one of our supporters named Gloria was going to the market, going food shopping, and we needed a few things, and she was coming by to get some money and a list of what we needed, and we sent some of our children with her. By the time she came back from shopping, which wasn't that long, the police had set a wooden barricade across Osage Avenue. Osage Avenue is a small one-way street, and they had blocked it off with a wooden barricade. When Gloria came back and pulled up to Osage Avenue and saw the barricade, a cop, a black cop who had been familiar with Move, our children, even longer than me, because he had been assigned to Move details from the early 70s, 1970s. And so he was very familiar with Move. His name was George Draper. And he came up to the car when Gloria had stopped because of the barricade, looked in the car, saw Gloria, saw our children, and he promptly went over and moved the barricade so that she could drive back onto the street, let the kids back into the house. Now, this was Sunday morning, Mother's Day, and they were out there, you know, setting up to kill us. Now, they try to tell people that they were concerned about the children and that, you know, they wanted to get the children out of harm's way. Well, they are proven liars because they had the perfect opportunity to have at least some of the children away from the house, but they let them right back onto the street and into the house. And this was not an oversight or whatever. This was deliberate. Deliberate, because the police commissioner, Gregory Sambor, stated publicly after the bombing, after our children and adult sisters and brothers and our animals had been literally burned alive, that they considered our children as much of a threat, if not more, than the adults. They considered them combatants. So, you know, this makes it clear that they were determined to kill our children as much as they were determined to kill the adults in that house. People should also know that they came out there with warrants for only four people, myself and three of my sisters and brothers. They knew that there were children in the house and that there were other adults in the house that they did not have warrants for, but they did not care. So after they got all of their equipment set up, they began their attack, their assault. An assault which I have to say they had planned for and rehearsed and practiced and built a simulation of our roof and practiced blowing it up. For over a year, they had put their plan of action together. And once they, you know, got what they felt like was a workable plan, that's when they came out there to, you know, attack move. And like I said, it had nothing to do with any complaints from neighbors. What it had to do with is our unrelenting fight for our MOVE sisters and brothers, known as the MOVE 9, who were arrested in August of 1978 under the false accusation that they killed a cop during a police attack on MOVE back then, which also the intent then was to kill MOVE. And it helps to explain why they came back in 85 with a bomb, because they came out there in 1978 with everything they thought they needed to kill off MOVE, and they failed. And in their fervor to kill MOVE, they ended up killing one of their own. And they were mad about it, although they would never admit, you know, that it wasn't MOVE that killed Officer James Lamp. But they were mad about it, and they wanted to get MOVE. So when they came out there in 1985, they came with more than what they had in 78. They came with military explosives because they were determined to accomplish in 85 what they failed to do in 78. So the whole issue, their whole aim was to shut us up permanently from exposing their conspiracy, keep our family in prison, you know, from 1978. And that is what the bombing was all about, from not about any complaints from neighbors.
If shock and awe campaign,
it will involve a lot of people dressed in black. It will involve a lot of very, very loud music.
Radio Committee, your anarchist radio show.
So now that was Ramona Africa from the MOVE movement, and we're going to hear the second part of that interview just in a minute. But first, we're going to listen to 5 Million Ways to Kill a CEO, which is by The Coup. And the
help me out! Slap him up and shake.
you know. Let them up the float and bait them with the dough. You could do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. Worth your waiting. On the turf debating how to get it percolating. You working, you while we happy just to work a day. But I'ma slap him till my blood starts circulating. Do your checks have elasticity? Did they cut off your electricity? Did you scream and yell explicitly? Force the boss into complicity. I'm a white chalk stencil, but I push a pencil. Rolling dope fiend rentals to your residential. Broke as fuck eating lentils with no utensils. Finna teach pimp class with a whole credential. Sweatshops, pet cops, and filter cola. Murder babies with their molars on the areola. Control the Pope, Dalai Lama, holy rollers, and the Ayatollah. Bump this rolling in your bucket or your new Corolla. Well, you might catch me on the scenic route with my penis out. Yelling twice for the executives with the meanest mouth. Wanna know what this demeanor's about? Sit and try to clean us out. Greenest cloud, shut them down. I ain't never seen a drought. In the music, they ain't calling you back. For the record, I ain't called it a gag. But tuck this in the small of your back. Wait in the bathroom stall till I tap. Got 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up and then you know. Let him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up and then you know. Let him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. Slow as the creeper. If you a janitor, get a street sweeper. Ugly is even skin deeper. If you can't get the prayers, get the beeper. The murder scene before there was a coroner. I might have been born here, but I'm a foreigner. Spilling swigs for victims of pigs and not Feeney's kid. Flip off the lid, who you going for? You too could be a corporate green killer, bean spiller. Gangster love just like Steve Miller. They wear skivvies that's made of chinchilla. Factory in Mexico, bought a spring villa. I'm from the land where the Panthers grew. You know the city and the avenue. If you the boss, we'll be smabbing through and we'll be grabbing you. Just say what's up with the revenue. And if you feel it, we can even try to seal it with the 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up and then you know. Set him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up and then you know. Set him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. It's a boom and child prostitution. When he show up at the stroke, give him lead restitution. You could throw a 20 in Nevada high oil. When he jump in after, watch him boy. Toss a dollar in the river and when he jump in, if you find he could swim, put lead boots on him and do it again. You and a friend, videotape and a party don't win. Tell him that boogers be selling like crack. He gon' put the little baggies in his nose and suffocate like that. Put a 50 in the barrel of a gun when they try to suck it out. Well, you know this one. Make sure you ain't got no priors. Don't tell them that we conspired. We could let them try to change a flat tire, or we could all at once retire. These are just a few of the 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap them up and shake them up and then you know. Let them off the float and bait them with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap them up and shake them up and then you know. Let them off the float and bait them with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. Bay Area, get ready to rock. Bay Area, you ready to rock. L.A., get ready to rock. L.A., are you ready to rock? Chi-town, get ready to brawl. Chi-town, are you ready to brawl? Detroit, Detroit, are you ready to brawl? Detroit, are you ready to brawl? Atlanta, are you ready to brawl? Atlanta, you ready to brawl? Houston, get ready to brawl. Houston, get ready to brawl. New York, are you ready to brawl? New York, are you ready to brawl? London, get ready to brawl. London, are you ready to brawl? Get ready to brawl. Cape Town, are you ready to brawl? Tokyo, get ready.
Hello, hello, welcome back to Radio Cabele. So that was, sorry, not 500 or 5,000, but 5 million ways to kill a CEO by the coup.
I thought it was a little more than that.
Yeah, it was a bit. I was listening and I'm like, I got that wrong. Oh no.
So many ways.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know. And so now we're going to go to the second part of the Ramona Africa interview. Stay tuned, stay listening. The rest of the interview, because this is just a short portion of it, believe it or not, the rest of the interview is up on Radio for All, so radioforall.net. That's number 4, not F-O-U-R or anything else. So radioforall.net if you want to listen to the full, long version of this. And we're also going to have another song by The Coup afterwards, The Coup featuring Dead Prez, and the song's called Get Up, but that's just at the end of the interview. So now we're going to go to Ramona.
So after they got all of their artillery set up, they made an announcement. The police commissioner made an announcement, which I did not hear. I don't believe anybody else heard at the time. But we believe that he did make the announcement. He is said to have announced, attention move, this is America. You have to abide by the laws, you know, of our society and some other nonsense like that. And gave us 15 minutes to come out. Now, the point I want to make is that he said, attention move, this is America. He apparently has forgotten what America stands for, you know. This country was founded, according to history, by people from England, no less, from the UK, who came over here escaping oppression and went to war with cops called Redcoats, went to war with King George, you know, went to war with the government at the time, which was the English government, you know, because this was a colony. And my point is, if the police commissioner, Gregory Sambor, had been an English cop, you know, a redcoat, and came in front of Nathan Hale or Patrick Henry's house saying, attention, this is an English colony. You have to abide by the laws of the crown or whatever. What do you think would have happened to him, you know? And what do you think would have happened to the person who took issue with such a statement? They would be seen as a hero, a freedom fighter, you know? But the police commissioner had the nerve to come in front of our house talking about, you know, this is America. I mean, America is supposedly founded on resistance, you know? On resistance. But it's okay for them to resist. But when anybody else resists the tyranny of government, then it's a crime. You know, you're a terrorist. You're a criminal. So anyway, after they got all their equipment set up and made their announcement and we did not come out, that's when they began their assault. They started with the firefighters who took an oath to save and protect life. You know, they worked with the cops against MOVE, you know, threatening and endangering. They set up 4 water hoses, water cannons, and by their information, these water hoses pump out 10,000 pounds of water pressure per minute. That's a lot of pressure. I don't know if people can even conceive of how much water that is. if anybody has seen the film footage of demonstrations led by Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders back in the 50s and 60s and saw how the water hoses were turned on those people, how it knocked people off their feet, you know, it broke windows. It's a lot of pressure. And they had four of them, which means 40,000 pounds of water pressure coming in our house per minute. And they had those hoses on for a long time. I don't know exactly how long, but it was a long time. When that didn't work to bring us out of the house, then they used explosives on the walls of our houses on both sides to blow holes in the wall. They claim they wanted to blow 3-inch holes in the wall to insert tear gas. When they finished using their explosives, they had blown off the whole front of our house. We were all in the basement of our home. They blew off the whole front of our house. And then, after they did that, they opened fire. According to their, you know, words, their reports, they shot over 10,000 rounds of bullets into our home. And this was within the first 90 minutes of their attack on us. After they did that, you know, I guess they wanted to make sure that they killed everybody in that house. They brought in a state of Pennsylvania police helicopter, and they had two members of the Philadelphia Police Department's bomb squad put together, composed a bomb made of C4, a plastic military explosive, and they went up in the helicopter, flew over our house with no warning. They didn't announce anything. They just flew over our house and dropped the bomb on the roof of our house. That bomb ignited a fire, which they were informed immediately that there was a fire. And the fire commissioner admits that he was informed immediately that at that point there was mostly smoke and a small, what they call incipient fire, a fire in its very beginning stages, and that they could have extinguished the fire at that point, but they conspired to let the fire burn, and the fire commissioner and firefighters went along with it to let the fire burn. Now, firefighters never do that. They are known for going into burning buildings to save people, but in this situation, they made a conscious decision, knowing they were innocent men, women, babies, animals in that house that was on fire. And I say innocent without fear of any contradiction, because according to the laws of this country, the legal laws of this country, you are innocent until proven guilty. That's what they said. We had not been proven guilty of anything when they attacked us on May 12th and 13th of 1985. And yet, they made a decision to let that fire burn. You know, that was unconscionable. As I said, we were in the basement of our home, and initially, we thought that it was still tear gas, you know, in that basement, that all the smoke was tear gas. But it got thicker, and it started getting hot in the basement. And then we started hearing crackling sounds outside the basement. And what had happened was trees had caught fire, and we were hearing the crackling. And we realized that our home was on fire. And we immediately tried to get our children, our animals, ourselves out of that burning building. The instant we came out, and we were coming out the back because that's where the basement exited, you know, out the back. And we were hollering that we were coming out. The children were hollering that they were coming out. The instant those cops saw us coming out, they immediately opened fire with a barrage of gunfire, forcing us back into the burning building. And we were forced back in at least twice that I remember. May have been more, but I remember at least twice. And we were in a situation where you're either going to choke to death and be burned alive, or try to get out and possibly be shot to death. Well, you know, we tried to come out one more time. And at this point, I got out. Birdie got out right behind me. And the bullets that the cops were shooting at us was hitting all around us. But we just kept going, kept coming out. And there were move people right behind us because we were all lined up to come out. And I was immediately taken into custody, and Birdie was immediately taken into custody. That's the little boy that also survived, the only other survivor.
Dead prayers, the coup, people army, where the G's at, come on. Fuck the police. Hey, y'all ready for this shit, y'all trunk? Y'all ready to get this bitch crunk?
You got to get up right now. The system upside down. You're supposed to be fed up by now.
It's cool.
Turn the system upside down. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm against this government. I ain't got to cover it up, that's what I meant. Sick of paying bills and I'm sick of paying rent. Seem like I work all the time but don't know where the money went. And the funny shit is we supposed to like this shit, but all y'all politicians could bite this dick. It's a war going on, the ghetto is a cage. They only give you two choices, be a rebel or a slave.
So what you do?
So I rebel, like an ulcer in the belly of the beast, staying true to it. Since my holding streak days in the blue Buick, niggas been fighting so long, seem like I'm used to it. Now what y'all know about how the cool do it? Truth fluid, booth put the funk to it, ain't nothing to it. This is for the cheese all the way to the bay, from Frisco to Oakland, all over LA.
You got to get up right now. Turn the system upside down. You're supposed to be fed up by now. Turn the system upside down. Get up.
Now, this fella's piss yellow, never been a snitch teller. One pay stub from a homeless dish dweller, yelling fuck a Rockefeller. My shit bumping a cappella. My lyrical quotes are nervous, note the bank tellers. We ain't call it off, we hauling off Molotovs and grits. Mr. Bailiff, you can put that in the transcript. Fuck your motherfucking paddy wagon band flips. Some sew it off, I prefer hand grits. Quote us, you know we stronger than a 3-day notice. Pay a quit, it's more of us than the lies that your mayor spit. I'm on some, I hit the game, but love to play a shit. It's you a have or you a have not. When you run out of bullets, grab rocks. Cause the prison don't slam locks. It don't open when your fam knocks, unless you rich and have stocks. Fight the power like a motherfucking Zulu. It's the coup plus the new Mamet Tulu. So raise your hands in the air like you're born again, but make a fist for the struggle when you're born to win.
Right now, turn the system upside down. You're supposed to be fed up by now. Turn the system upside down.
Whoop, whoop, I be ducking.
fucking them hoes. I can smell a pig coming, so I stay on my toes. On the low from Popo, so fuck the whole lease. Cause peace to me is loaded under my seat, and I know power respect that, so serve and protect that. I'm young, black, and just don't give a fuck, try me. Grilling you right back, you better drive by me. We the people army is known to get rowdy. And even if you a friend of the blue, you can get it too. Snitching is never forgettable. This hell we live in is never forgivable. It come down to DP in the coup. Remember Huey, Bobby Hutt, and George Fred and them. Fuck the Popo, local state fed and them. You better choose your side, Crip, Blood, 415. It's one team, get up and let's ride.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Radio Cabele. So that was, we just heard Ramona Africa, and well, we heard a song by The Coup featuring Dead Prez, and before that, the interview with Ramona Africa. So now we are going to speak with our very special guest, Gorditas. Hello, Gorditas.
Hi.
Hey. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Los Indignados and sort of also the sort of uprising in Spain. So can you tell us a little bit about how it started, what it's all about, who are the Indignados, and yeah, just a bit more about that.
Everything started because last on the 22nd of May there were some local elections, so people got together the Sunday before, which it was the 15th of May, and organized a very big demonstration. The movement, the original movement, it was like this big demonstration. It was like this organization called Democracia Real Ya, which means democracy now. And these people organized a demonstration, and then suddenly, after the big demonstration, people just got their tents and went to the squares and camped.
That's so great, yeah.
It was like the camp bit of it was never planned, so it was like just something sudden that people decide to do. And since then, there's been that kind of obviously lots of people. There's been lots of people on the squares on many cities of Spain, especially the main cities, Barcelona, Madrid. They're like kind of really, really big movements. And obviously, these people have move away from the original movement, which it was like Democracia Real Ya, and they asked for more things. But anyway, what everything is about is like these people wanting real democracy. So like these people that they don't feel they don't feel listened by the politicians, and they don't feel they have a say in politics. And also because of all the economical situation, like not only in Spain, obviously especially bad in Spain, there is a 15% unemployment between people of 20 and 35 year old, so it's really, really high. And especially for this, like, you know, economical situation where, like, you know, people don't have jobs, or like people can't afford to move out of their parents' place because it's very difficult to pay rent. So people just got fed up, and they just want, like, you know, they just want, basically they don't want these like big corporations and banks which are making lots of profit, or like, you know, the government helping banks, etc., when they just, you know, they are just struggling to pay the bills every day. So yeah, it's a little bit that.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah, people are really struggling and fighting. Recently there's been we also heard that in Barcelona there was a little bit of repression by the police and things. So can you tell us a bit more about sort of what happened there? Because I think it hasn't really been widely reported in the media in the UK and in the media in the rest of Europe and things. I think like many struggles are trying to keep it a bit hush hush so that people don't get inspired and things really.
Yeah.
My personal opinion.
Basically what happens, the reasons behind, I don't know exactly, but what happens, it was like people have been camping there for I think like 2 weeks or something like that, and suddenly the council decided that the square was very dirty and they had to clean it.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, they had to clear the people and bring on the service, cleaning services. Obviously, people didn't move because, you know, they didn't want to do it. And then the police had to, did try to clear the square, but with violence. So there was quite a lot of people just resisting, just sitting down, not moving, you know, and they were like being beaten. This, in the Spanish news, there's been quite a lot of like, you know, nasty pictures of like, you know, what happened on that day. Even police were beating like people on wheelchairs or like, you know, elderly people which were there just resisting. And it was very, very nasty. There's been people in hospitals and yeah, quite bad. Anyway, when that finished, they cleared the squares. They cleared the square. They took loads of computers and equipment and tents, etc. They took it away. But as they left the square, people got back to the square and started from scratch again. It was just, you know, violence, pure free violence, or like, you know, non. There was no excuse for that because, I mean, what's the point of doing that when people aren't going to get back to that?
I also heard, I was just mentioning before, that there was like 80 people or something that got access to a media station. Did you hear about that? In Murcia? I'm not sure if I'm saying it right.
Murcia.
That's probably more likely how to say it. That they got into a media headquarters on the 22nd of May as well. And sort of like sabotage the station for a little while, like managed to evade security staff.
What
and
was that? Radio station? Or?
No, a TV station. And did like a bit of a media manipulation spiel on the TV, managed to get in, and then obviously were promptly thrown out. But yeah, got into this station. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, right? I know. Nice work. Yeah. That's just great.
No,
yeah.
People have been really like moved. This I can't. Yeah. You can feel it. I've got friends now that are like in the main square of Madrid, which is Sol. Mm-hmm. And for example, you can follow on Twitter. You can follow tags, and one of the most popular tags is Acampada Sol, which means Sol camped.
Mm-hmm.
And there you can feel like something is really there. Is lots of this energy, and there is like from 15-year-old people to 60, you know, just talking there, sitting there, organizing, and really wanted to get something out of the politicians and get a better democracy and a better situation for themselves.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And what's going on in Bristol?
In Bristol, well, there's been, since everything started in Spain, the main cities like Madrid and Barcelona, they got these camps, and then it's like there was like small cities all over Spain, Valencia, Mallorca, Sevilla. But the movement carried on expanding, and there's been like camps in there's camps in London, in Brighton, in Amsterdam, in Paris, in Greece. Greece is like, it's been like really following the steps, and they got on the streets as well, on the squares. There is the website called Take the Square, which is quite good to follow because it's also in English, and it's talking about all this movement, how it's like, you know, taking over Europe and and like, you know, all over the world. And obviously in Bristol there was like a few people as well gathering together. And
how many people are
on and off? Obviously people have like, you know, have to work and all of that, but there might be like about 40 or 50 people.
Yeah, that's
all in all. And like,
they've definitely got a presence in the center.
And there's quite a lot of people just coming. For example, I haven't been camping myself. I haven't stayed over, but I've been going quite a lot and bringing things they needed. This is my tent. And, well, things like that. And bringing them coffee in the mornings, like, you know, little things like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, basically they are like down on the down by the fountains. Where is that? It's the statue of that guy pointing to the kebab shop.
The old slave trader who, Colston, yeah, he's one of those.
Wills.
Pardon?
It's not Mr. Colston. Oh, it's one of
the Mr. Wills, sorry, forgive me for that one. Still a slave trader, though, who maybe donated money for a school or something, got a statue of himself put up in the city centre.
So, yeah, they are there. They have like, they started with three tents. I think the last time I was there on Friday, there was like about seven tents, perhaps.
Cool.
And they've been organizing events on Saturday. I personally don't think they got really far, not far, but I don't think they publicized it enough. Because there's plenty of people that didn't know about that, but there's been two festivals, or tiny festivals they've been organizing on each Saturday, this Saturday and the Saturday before, called People's Fest, when they had music and they had a workshop with like a circus and things like that, just to like, you know, grab people's attention. And yeah, they get together. There's assembly every night at 7. And they normally on that day they talk about like, you know, things like, for example, the other day when I was there, they were like deciding what to do because the BBC was coming. So they've been in the BBC, on the BBC as well. And things like how to behave, how to organize, like, you know, either like the little things like the recycling or food, etc. So, and also communication with other cities of Spain and communications, Facebook, Twitter.
Mm.
And all of that, so
yeah,
you can just, you know, 7 o'clock every evening, just come along and just, you know, say hello.
Great. Cool. So also, and check out that website, Take the Square, as well, for more information.
There's quite a lot of things on Facebook and on Twitter. I've been following everything in Twitter, as I'm away from Spain, so it's difficult to get like, you know, any other information, so online. But Twitter is quite good. There's like a few tags you can follow, like there is #SpanishRevolution, there is #50M, which stands for 15th of May, there is Take the Square, there is Acampada Sol, it's very popular, Acampada BNC, which is Acampada Barcelona. There is loads, so one takes you to the other. And a nice one is like #YesWeCamp. So
yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Following Obama's.
And the 19th of June, is there?
Of solidarity in Spanish for the campers?
For the campers? In Spanish, you want me to say?
Un mensaje.
Un mensaje. Pues. Chicos, lo estáis haciendo de puta madre, seguid. Seguid haciéndolo guay y que tenéis todo nuestro support.
Sí, claro. Que
todo nuestro apoyo.
Apoyo, sí.
It's confusing. It's really confusing to speak like English and Spanish at the same time.
I think that's understandable.
No, yeah. Well done, guys. Good. Yeah. Keep the good work.
Thank you very much. So we're just going to wrap up Radio Cavalli for this month, for the show. So just a couple of upcoming things to keep an eye out for. There will be free skilling next Tuesday at the Better Food Company in St. Werburgh's. It's from 7 p.m. They're going to be talking about urban edibles. There'll also be there's help needed for the pre-ride meeting for the Bristol Naked Bike Ride. So they're going to be sort of getting together banners and flags and things. And that's going to happen at the Attic Bar at 6 p.m. at the Full Moon Pub in Stokescroft.
You don't have to be fully naked for the naked bike ride. It should be said for the people like me who are a bit like,
You can just be as comfortable as you wish and support the cycling spirit, but not completely stalkers. So
celebration for the prudish cyclists as well.
I'll run my own bike ride for the prudish folk who want to celebrate, but not naked.
I think, for example, if you go to the London one when it's like really busy and there is lots of people, and well, that's fine because there's going to be lots of people around, but
you can be surrounded.
Very small, and you just see your neighbors. Yeah. I don't know.
Exactly.
Maybe a bit, too much.
Indeed. And one more thing that's coming up is the Badaka conference, Fight Back Bristol. It's organizing against the cuts. It's happening Saturday, 18th of June from 12 till 5 at Colston Hall, which is in the city centre. And so there'll be loads of stuff going on, so check it out. And I don't know if there's anything upcoming you'd like to mention, Mitchell.
Yeah, I don't know when it is, but it would be... around, definitely online. I've just been reading a lot about the slut walk that people have been manically talking about all over the world, well, at least in the Western world. So it'd be worth checking that out, but I think maybe I'll do a follow-up on that next show. But
well, it started, I've heard, in Toronto.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And because one of the cops said the way for women to avoid getting raped is to not dress like sluts. And so obviously, this is like waving a red flag at a bull, a bunch of angry feminists, and just women who, you know, think that however you dress, wherever you go, you know, your body's your body and nobody should mess with that.
Yeah, and we're sick basically of victim blaming the victim sort of mentality and sexual violence. So there's definitely lots of organizing I hear in the rumor mill going on in Bristol, and I think there's one coming up, but I'm not sure when it is. Mm-hmm. But if you're interested, definitely check it out online, or there's various mm-hmm. feminist groups in Bristol which would know what's going on. Great. So I'll do a follow-up at another show.
That's great. Yep. We can talk about liberating the inner slut as well as the inner prude as well.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do a series. Yeah.
Indeed. So great. Thanks a lot, everybody. Oh, one more thing from Gorditas.
Yeah, there is also the band camp next weekend, so I don't know. I just would like to mention it. I think it's been said in Radio Quevedo many times before, but next weekend there is the band camp by Haxion Lab, and it's going to be 11th and 12th of June, and it's going to be in the lovely Y Valley, and it's going to be a weekend full of technical workshop and activism and good cider, so don't miss it.
Next weekend, yes.
Next weekend, that's right.
Cool, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's all.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.